Divas on Radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
FW, Washington, D.C.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around, turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go, let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on, come on. Get in that cell.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to the second hour of Ben's Chili Bowl. Now that things have cooled down somewhat, we hope to start having our live breakfast show the first Tuesday of every month, where you can come in and have breakfast and sit down and listen to the show and participate. But that's still in the planning stages, waiting on some things to be smoothed out. But we want to welcome you to join us for the second hour. We come to you the first Tuesday of each month for 2 hours, live from the world-famous historic Ben's Chili Bowl. And would you believe while we're here, there are two camera crews. Every day there's a crew from the Netherlands, from South America, from Germany, Japan. Ben's Chili Bowl is all around the world. And folks, we want to thank you. And thanks to the Ben's Chili Bowl family for allowing us to bring our message to you from the Chili Bowl. And to folks that don't know about this, the Smithsonian Institution is designated Ben's Chili Bowl as one of the 20 iconic restaurants. When you visit America, you should attend. And we're here 3-4 days a week. And believe me, folks, we run into people from all over the world. And the bottom line is everybody got somebody locked up, incarcerated, or in jail, or impacted by the criminal justice system. 6 out of every 10 Americans have a friend, loved one, or family, somebody that's impacted or in the joint, coming out of institution or on parole or probation. So the criminal justice field, it touches almost every aspect of our lives and a large portion of society. So now we start off what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. The grapevine. Well, we're going to start. Okay, here we go. There's a new battle over an old institution, forced prison labor. Inside the latest legal and legislative efforts to close state constitutional loopholes that allow slavery as punishment for crime. More than half of the United States observed a public holiday the past week. Where past one, it's a Juneteenth, a big celebration for them. They're dedicated to the end of legal slavery in the United States after the Civil War. One of those states was Alabama, according to a recent lawsuit. The state did so while also perpetuating a kind of modern-day slavery because it compels incarcerated people to work under the threat of punishment. It's unclear how the suit will fare in court, but it is undoubtedly has a better chance today than it would have had just 2 years ago. The Center for Constitutional Rights, which brought the suit on behalf of 6 people currently incarcerated in Alabama, all of whom are Black, says that little has changed in the state since the amendment passed. The suit claims that people behind bars who refuse work assignments or who are fired from work release jobs are routinely punished or threatened. Everything from loss of telephone and visitation access to solitary confinement and transfer to more violent facilities. This is the case even when the reasons for missing work are medical or concerns over workplace safety. And lastly, there are nearly 2 million people in American prisons and jails, a 500% increase over the last 50 years. In 2020, over 200,000 people in U.S. prisons were serving life sentences, more people than were in prison with any sentence in 1970. Nearly one-third of people serving life sentences are 55 years or older, amounting to 60,000 people serving life without parole. People of color, particularly Black Americans, are represented at a high rate among those serving lengthy and extreme sentences than among the total prison population. And that's been a brief grapevine that we introduced to this morning. This is the second hour of our show. We just got finished with Dr. Reed Tuckson. Now we have another gentleman who's a first-time guest. His name is Herbert Robinson. He's with the Georgetown University Pivot Program and also the Justice D.C. Justice Lab and a few other organizations. And he came out of the institution, hit the ground running. And I just met him. It was the first time I've seen this rascal. He got a big old fat head, too, man. Thank you for joining us. His name is Herbert Robinson. Good morning, Herbert Robinson.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas to you, man. And what is the Georgetown Georgetown University's Pivot Program? What is that about? Give us a little brief background on it, please.
Okay. Georgetown University's Pivot Program is an entrepreneurial program for returning citizens. They bring you into their space, and it's kind of like an incubator for those that's trying to transform back into society. It's in the works to become entrepreneurs and build out your own businesses and things of that nature.
And how long were you incarcerated, and how long have you been home?
I just did 2 years, my last bit, and I've been home for the last 19 months. I'm actually due to get off of supervised release on October 4th.
Okay, beautiful. How much time did you serve totally?
I've done over 14 years.
14 years in the criminal justice system. Were you in the feds or the state?
D.C. jail in the federal system.
Okay, so you've been all across America then?
Yeah, all the way to California, Alabama, some of the things about the federal system and the D.C. law. But what they say is the First Step Act that says D.C. residents shouldn't be over 500 miles away from D.C.
That's right. It was a movement some time ago that was trying to get the feds to designate Farrington up in New Jersey as a D.C. facility, the Admiral Petersburg. I think I got on mute, you still over here on the mute. Yeah, in Petersburg. And the bottom line was there was a group trying to stop.
That was me.
Oh, that was
me.
Yeah, there was a group trying to get the federal government to designate.
It's not on.
Okay, you getting echo still, getting it? Okay, there was a group that's trying to get Farrington Correction Facility, FCI, in New Jersey, or even Petersburg, which is less than 300 miles, to be designated as facilities for D.C. prisoners. But they've been sending us, like you said, from D.C., you go all the way to California, Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama. And folks don't realize when you do that, you go further away, and you lose further, more contact with your family. Of course, it becomes more expensive to communicate. And this plays on your psyche and that kind of stuff. So you've been out for a while. You've been working with D.C. Justice Lab over the jail, and I understand there's a big issue about solitary confinement over at the D.C. You want to explain what the issue is about solitary confinement at the D.C. jail, please?
Yeah, Unlock the Box D.C. is a campaign, a coalition here in D.C. that has a campaign to end solitary confinement in D.C. jail and DOC. The United Nations and has what they call the Mandela Rule.
Yes.
And it says that anyone incarcerated and locked in a cell 22-2, 23-1 for 14 days or more, that's considered torture. Yes. That's inhumane.
Yeah.
I totally agree, and I'm one that has suffered and been through those conditions. And a lot of it ties into everything that goes on with the federal system and D.C. being controlled by the federal system to a certain extent. But in D.C. jail, they will tell you they don't use solitary confinement, but they actually have a medical unit, South 3, where the medical ward is housing inmates, 23-1, 22-2. Some of them are 24 and no time out they sell on a regular basis, but they will tell you they're not. If the jail isn't equipped to give these inmates the time that they need outside of their cell, the education and the psychological and the mental tools that they need, then the jail need to send these inmates to institutions that can.
You know, I've been dealing with the D.C. jail for about 6 years. I'm going to look at the old D.C. jail. And I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you call it. If you got guys over at D.C. jail, then the jails have been known to put people in solitary. And every institution, it can be called a hole, the box, queue, administrative segregation, special housing unit. The bottom line is you're isolated and you're in solitary. And I've been in solitary several times. And my last trip was 8 months and it drove me insane. And they took me out of solitary and took me straight to St. Elizabeth's Mental Hospital for the criminally insane, where I stayed 3 years from being in that 8 months in solitary in a little teeny room. And there's been studies all around the world that says the solitary is torture. And I'm glad you mentioned the Mandela rule. Nelson Mandela did 28 years at Robben Island over there in solitary. And I did 8 months, and I know folk right now, there's three guys, all three are dead. It was called the Angola Three. And they did over 44 years. And one of the last guys who just died was named Robert Woodfall. He came here a few years ago. He did 44 years in solitary, him and two of his co-defendants. And man, Angola has been designated on the call to the worst prison in America. They have 6,000 prisoners in Angola, 4,000 of whom are serving life without parole. And of course, the majority of them are Black and people of color. So solitary confinement, I don't care how they call it, really, they say, well, DCPR, they put it in the medical unit. Now, because you're in a medical unit, they think that being designated dead don't mean that you're out of solitary. I did 8 months in Lawton, and they put me in a hospital and put me in a restricted room. It was a new form of medical isolation. We call it the hole. So that 8 months drove me insane. So I'm glad to hear that you and other folk land are doing something to combat, to fight this, because I'm lucky that I was able to go insane and come back from insanity. Everybody don't do that, man, and I am really, really blessed. So I take my hat off to you, man, for what y'all doing. So what is it right now? What's the status of the D.C. jail program that y'all and you are working on to combat this solitary confinement and this torture?
Well, at the moment, we're in the process of trying to get Councilmember Pinto. She's the head of Judiciary Chair.
Brooke Pinto, yeah.
Brooke Pinto, yes. We're trying to get a hearing on the erase bill.
Mm-hmm.
ACLU has a petition where you can sign an email petition and send it in to Brooke Pinto to push the hearing forward, to request this hearing.
What's the hearing about?
In the solitary confinement.
To end solitary confinement.
Yes, sir. To end solitary confinement, and let the torture be known, and let the people in the community know, and let the community speak up and let it be known how they feel about ending solitary confinement and that they support it.
And what's that bill called? Is that the Erase Act?
Yes, the Erase Act 2023. And you can sign up for, if you go to acludc.com/erase solitary, and you can send a petition in.
You know, I'm glad when you mentioned Nelson Mandela in the United Nations, when they adopted the Mandela resolution that all prisons or correction systems should outlaw, eliminate, or stop solitary confinement and do this short to stay. But a lot of folks are not paying that no mind. What did you do for them guys over the jail right now? I know we got one of the inmates at CTF, Correctional Treatment Administration.
One of the folks who's at the D.C. jail now, who was elected as the ANC commissioner at the D.C. jail, she's over there fighting, and it's unusual to have an inmate inside of an institution running, holding an elected position while they're incarcerated serving time. Is she involved in this solitary confinement? And what kind of weight or juice does this ANC commissioner, who's the only one in the country, the first in the country, that an inmate has been elected by other inmates to represent them inside the prison and participate in certain D.C. legislative acts while incarcerated at the jail? So you don't have any relationship with this new ANC commissioner at the D.C. jail?
We haven't personally had a relationship or communication with her, but now that you mention it is something that we will be looking into,
yeah.
And I appreciate you mentioning that. As the doctor before me spoke when you had him on, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion plays a big part in us.
Yeah.
Being trapped in solitary confinement, being trapped in the federal system, wherever they send you at, you lose that communication with your family, you lose your communication with your city, the culture of the city, and how the city is growing. So I think the tools, you know, having the opportunity, you know, Oregon found that increasing out-of-cell time with programming and things of that nature for the people in solitary confinement, it reduces the violence. It decreases the self-injuries and things like that. It gives a person time to indulge in these programs. And these programs could be self-help programs, way to better themselves, learning their strengths. You know, it's different forms like Gallup and has a strength builder, Clifton. Letting a person know what they're capable of. A lot of us come out here and we don't know, and I give it to DC Justice Lab an opportunity they gave me because they had a policy training course that I was able to take. And then taking that policy training academy, like, I fell in love with this work.
Have you been in a solitary before?
Yes.
How many times have you been in it?
Multiple times, and I would say I've been in the SMOOT program and everything. And at the time I was in, it was an 18-month program. It started off phase one and two was in Talladega, Alabama.
Yeah. I've been in Talladega. You know, it's me. I'm sitting here talking to my good friend. We just met him. Talking to my good friend, Herbert Robinson, who just been home about a couple of years. And he's working with the D.C. Justice Lab, which is an activist organization that's trying to do whatever they can to improve the condition and situation at the D.C. jail. And for those inmates who live in D.C., sent in the federal system. And folks, we got a lot of help, but we don't have enough. We need everybody participating. We're talking about solitary confinement. Right now, there's over 80,000 people worldwide in solitary. And believe me, they got a lot of kids and juveniles who are in solitary. And I'm telling you, when you take a kid and put them in solitary, it blows your mind. I went to solitary. I was 9 years old the first time I went in at 9 years old. And I'm telling you, I haven't forgotten that experience. When you are forced to be locked up 24 hours a day, it wasn't no 22 and 2 or 23 and 1. It was 24, and you stay there until you're done. You know, and you come out after 40, 60, 80, 90 days. I mentioned at the beginning about the Angola 3. They made news worldwide. Nelson Mandela did 28 years in solitary. The Angola 3 did 44 years. There's a young lady just got released from New Orleans named Mama Glow. She did 50 years. 10 of it was in solitary. And you got folks all over this country who are being punished and penalized on top of punishment. And it hurts when it says that the Supreme Court Chief Justice Earl Warren in 1962 ruled that you were sent to prison as punishment, not to be punished. And somehow that's been lost, and the correctional staff inside think that because you are there, it's their job to do whatever they want to because they can do it. And I'm telling you, man, solitary is torture. It's mental torture. Some people never come back from that experience. I'm lucky. I did 8 months and went straight to the sane asylum for 3 years, taking medication, shock treatment, all kinds of therapy. And I'm glad, for whatever reason, the Lord or whomever blessed me, that I'm okay. Because I know guys who went in solitary who did less than I did, and they don't even know their name, man. They can't talk. You see them, they're like a shell of a person. Everybody can't take that kind of punishment or torture. So I am enthusiastic about what is it that you're doing, and what can people do who are listening to our show to try to improve or stop the conditions of solitary confinement anywhere in the country?
Well, right now, I would say spread the word, like spread your message. Going to go on to erasesolitary.com, which is our website, and you can look at and get any information about solitary confinement, get the updates. You can sign on and be a part of the, be a partner in the coalition and join the campaign. Erasesolitary.com.
There are over 80,000 men and women and children in solitary confinement in prisons and jails all across the world, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. And oh my goodness, let me step a little closer. How many people are in solitary confinement in the U.S.? There are more than 80,000 men, women, and children in solitary confinement in prisons across the United States. And the figures that we know that need it, folks. There have been movements all across this country, the ACLU, FAM, United Nations, everybody taking a stand. making sure that the Mandela Bridge, named after Nelson Mandela, the fruit, they treated a certain way to be placed in the solitary. So we want to make sure that the Mandela's rules apply. He's no longer with us, but he has been our leading, one of our leading voices in this particular field. You're talking about the D.C. jail. If y'all went over to the Youth Services Center on Mount Olivet Road and see how they treat the young juveniles when they come in, because they throw juveniles in solitary, and the kids don't realize that they have a right to protest or they have a right to a grievance when they place you in one of these lockdown spots. They call it the hole, the shoe, the box, whatever you want to call it, administrative segregation. It has 1,000 different names. The bottom line is you are taken out of population and you're placed in a little room or cell for weeks, months, and years. And when I met Robert Woodfork from the Angola 3, they came in and did a big rally in front of the White House. This brother did 44 years in solitary, and I looked at him and said, how did you do it? And he told me, I was never there. He never let himself go to be inside the institution. He kept his mind outside of the prison. And folks, I'm telling you, you see people right now, when you walk down the street, you see folk eating out the trash can, the garbage can. Some of these folks who are in prison went into solitary. When they release them, they're dead. There's nothing that they can do. Well, there's something they can do, but we don't know what it is to help them. So this issue about, it's called the erase. Brooke Pinto, the city councilman in D.C., is sponsoring this legislation.
No. Councilman Nadeau, Brianna Nadeau.
Brianna, okay.
Brooke Pinto is the one we need to give us the hearing.
Okay. All right.
So, Brooke Pinto is the one I need the community to gather around and send her messages, let them know their support and that they choose to support solitary confinement. Ending solitary confinement.
Now we're talking about ending it totally inside of the institution.
Yes.
So we ain't got a two. That's CTF and the Department of DC jails. And
yes.
Cutting it out all over the jail.
Yes. So programs and organ, like I say, they found their out of cell time and adding programs to that out of cell time, it gives incentives. Allowing the visitation from the family members and things like that. This is an incentive to tell a person, like, solitary confinement is not for you. This is not where you're going to be. But if you have to put a person in solitary confinement, 14 days is your max. Yeah. They need to be released from that condition after 14 days.
You know, I'm glad they saw that. I'm glad you said 14 days. When I went in, you did 15 days automatically. When I went in, you did 15 days automatically in solitary. Let me turn it up. It's already up. 15 days in solitary. Then you got a full meal. We went there. It was doing bread and water time. I know y'all heard about this, but back in the 60s and 50s in D.C., you went to solitary. You got bread and water, 2 cups of water in the morning, 2 slices of hard toast. And for all three meals, you got 2 slices of bread and 2 cups of water for 15 days. And you on the 16th day, you got a full meal. Then you go right back to the 2 slices of bread and the 2 cups of water. And a couple of guys in there filed to the Supreme Court or to the federal court. And they changed the diet for men and women in solitary because all over the country, you went on a restricted bread and water diet. Now you use Metrical. Now you can get the same food that the rest of the population get. And folk, this kind of punishment leaves everlasting permanent scars. You go to jail to do time, not to lose your mind. And solitary takes people's mind. Is the mayor in support of this this new law that's being proposed called the Racial Act?
At the time, the mayor hasn't showed any support, but I will say New York State has what they call the Merle Cooper law.
Yeah.
And in their Merle Cooper law, they've introduced it allows those that's in solitary confinement not to be in solitary confinement. Like you have the out of cell time, but you're in a separate unit from general population. So, okay, if you're saying that this person is too violent or something like that, or this person is continuing to have infractions, let's separate them, but still give him his out of cell time.
There you go. Go ahead.
New York has implemented this, and New York has said, this program is giving them the ability you know, to lower the violence, you know, to they seen staff praise the outcome of the interactions with the inmates and things like that.
How long, what did somebody have to do to be placed in solitary? What are some of the reasons? What are some of the reasons you'd be placed in solitary?
One could be placed in solitary for many reasons. You have medical reasons, mental health reasons. The LGBT community gets placed in solitary confinement because of their sexual preference.
Automatically,
because some compounds don't want them on the yards because of things that might happen. But why should they have to be forced in solitary confinement?
Because of their sexual preference.
You know. So, you know, and then, you know, again, you have those that might do disciplinary actions and things like that to get in solitary confinement. But when you're not having your visits, when you're forced to be in different conditions where, like, especially over the jail, when it's overcrowded, like certain things happen, you put people up under people, like things go wrong.
What are some of the negative effects or impacts of being in solitary, being isolated?
I believe the place where it diminishes one's social and emotional intelligence. You know, it takes away from a person's ability to interact with others. It kind of gives you a possessive attitude as well because you're so used to everything being around you being yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not willing to share a lot of times. You get closed channeled and sit in places and don't speak to others because you're not used to interacting.
Mm-hmm.
But could be there and be present, but it's like, you know, you're cool with being in your own thought in your own head, too.
You know, solitary confinement worldwide is a movement to try to eliminate this. And I know there's been several movements before to get rid of solitary in the D.C. jail and Lord before Lord closed. And it's a lot of smoke initially, but it always peter out, man. There's nothing going on. So is the mayor in support of this, or you have any support from the mayor or other politicians to support eliminating solitary confinement within the Department of D.C., Department of Corrections?
So I want to say 8 council members have signed on in support of this. I won't be able to name all 8 offhand, but I do know Breonna Nadeau introduced the bill, Mendelson, White, both whites.
Yeah,
we have 8 that have signed on in support of the bill. Again, we haven't got that support of the mayor yet.
The mayor has made a position on this.
I haven't heard a peep out of the mayor on this yet.
Wow. So, what organizations or other groups are supporting what you're doing? DC Justice Lab.
It's DC Justice Lab. You have CCE.
What is CCE?
Council for Court Excellence. Yeah.
Okay.
Free Minds, Harriet's Wildest Dreams, ACLU. Like we have the coalition is heavy. Like, and we're fighting this movement.
What can people do who listen to the show might have a loved one or a friend or somebody incarcerated in solitary? Because I know there's freaking letters and phone calls from folks whose son's been incarcerated for months, years, and they don't know what to do, where to go. And the prison give you that standard answer for security reasons. And that can encompass anything and everything. They just put you there for punishment, and it drives your mind out of your mind. Like I said before, you're sent to prison in due time not to lose your mind. And a lot of folks, you lose your mind. That is too heavy a price to pay for doing time.
So one of our partners, Free Minds Book Clubs, they do a book club where they send books in, and they also have a writing program with
Charles Liebert.
Exactly. So, you know, volunteering, you know, helping those that's under them conditions have something to read, you know, giving them someone to communicate with. I believe that would be a great help. Other than that, you know, out here sharing the word, spreading the message that solitary confinement is torture, and rallying around us with the in the solitary confinement.
You said bring the books in, but when you're in solitary, you're not allowed to read books in the newspapers and publications in some facility. Because that means when you go to solitary, you don't have nothing. The newspaper, the book, you can't write letters, etc. So What can folks do who are listening to the show? What can folks do who are listening to the show? What can they do to fight this solitary confinement issue? Or get support? Do you need support from other entities? You mentioned a few organizations and groups. But we need not only that. Nelson Mandela, one of the most famous individuals who did time in solitary, and he got a United Nations committee, started the Mandela Rule, outlawing or abandoning or cutting back or restricting solitary confinement. If he went through what he went through, and everybody know about his story, and they still are using solitary confinement, and I'm going to tell you something. He did 28 years, but everybody don't come out with their mind and their faculties all together like Nelson Mandela did. He was articulate. He could speak. And he didn't let that impact him. But some people go to solitary and they lose their mind and they lose themselves and they are no longer a viable, functioning human being. So what would you tell families who are listening? And some of these folks who are listening to our show this morning have loved ones, husbands, daughters, and sons in prison. What would you tell them that they got to deal with this solitary confinement issue?
Have patience. You know, you're going to need patience and your support and in your interactions with those people. You're going to need take the time to get to learn them, get to know them, and allow them the time to get to know you as well. You know, those interactions not going to come easy. You know, when you have multiple people or just two people, you're different. You're different in many ways. So it's going to take time. And when you have a person that's been trapped in solitary confinement that haven't been interacting and doesn't have the experience of communicating on a regular basis with someone, when they start to do so, you know, for one, they're going to have to learn how to ask for that help,
mm-hmm.
You know, how to be willing to say, hey, I need this.
This is WPFW 89.3. This is WPFW 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. We're coming to you live from the world famous Ben's Chili Bowl on historic U Street in downtown Washington. Our guest for this second hour is Mr. Herbert Robinson, Georgetown University Pivot Program, and with the D.C. Justice Lab. And he's a returnee, and he served about eight years or so inside of the prison. He's been out close to 2 years. And this brother hit the ground with his boots running. He's right back fighting and trying to improve the situation inside. That's one of the things I found out. People come out of prison, and everybody gets involved being an activist and trying to change things inside. Why are you doing this? You did time inside. Why are you concerned about the people still inside the institution?
Okay, so
go ahead.
While being incarcerated, my mother passed away in 2015. And when she passed away, I found myself spending time in solitary confinement. While being under those conditions, I built relationships with some guys that was there that might have had mental health issues. You know, they're banging on the doors and stuff like that. I couldn't get no sleep. So to entertain them at certain times of the day to keep them up, I had to figure some things out. Started playing certain games and, you know, interactions, telling stories, making up stories. And, you know, all this came together to the point where it's like, yeah, I was able to start sleeping through the night.
Yeah.
And once I returned home and doing some outreach, I ran into DC Justice Bag. And this so happened.
It just seemed
like a perfect picture.
You can't hear anything, Mike? Well, can we go back to this one then? Okay.
So, and at that time, I just got involved and went, like you said, hit the ground running. Ran into the Georgetown program. So through Georgetown Pivot Program, I was able to reopen my transportation business again. So I in the first impact, you know, all the open, you see,
What kind of business you send? What kind of business you send out already?
ATG transportation business that do part sale package deliveries and transportation for small and local businesses to and from the farmers market and pick up their supplies at the warehouse and then bring them back to their locations.
Okay, we just trying to get something squared away a bit. We have the world famous best chili bowl, and we have a little few issues we trying to work out. I don't have my hand smoking hot dog this morning. So fans are not going to smoke at all this morning. Good morning, good morning, Anthony. Glad you joined us this morning. As I said before, we'll be doing this show every 2 hours. Every 2 hours. Every first Tuesday of the month. While we're here in Chili Bowl doing our radio show, there's a TV crew in the front room. And every day there's 2-3 television crews coming in. And we talked about it. And the guy just said that he knows what solitary confinement is. Every country in the world has a solitary confinement, but nobody has as many people locked up as the United States of America. And why is that?
I don't have an answer for that. I do not have an answer for that.
You know, solitary confinement saved my life. I was in solitary, and I started wrote the words Christmas in prison under the dust. And I didn't have no books, newspaper, nobody to talk to. And I started leaving food on the floor, and the ants started coming. And every day, I would take a part of my food and leave it on the floor in the corner and let it dry up and crumble it in little tiny pieces to attract the ants. And for 3-4 days, just one ant, I couldn't tell one ant from another, but I thought it was my buddy. Because every day he used to be the first ant that would come in to bite the food that I lay on the floor in solitary. And when on the fourth day, this ant did not come back. The fifth day didn't come back. And on the sixth day, I was upset. I wondered what happened to my aunt. It was the only thing I was relating to, I could identify with, that was moving other than me in that little teeny cell. So this kind of thing is in, and I wrote the words Christmas in prison, and that alone helped save my life. What is that?
Paul is asking, is there any free release reorientation to outside communities that you know about that we can
repeat the question? The person just calling want to know, is there outside communities exist in DMV that he know of?
What, free release or reorientation to outside communities?
Yes. Free Minds Book Clubs help with that pre-release orientation. They start building a relationship with the inmate while he's in, and a lot of them come home, and you know, they stick a part of the book club and be a family to them. Also, there's Changing Perceptions, another organization that does that, and Clean Decisions. They work hand in hand. They offer employment and everything for the returning citizens.
And you also got the Ready Center, you got Market and Mayor's Office, you got the Market and Mayor's Office for Returning Citizens. You got several organizations in this city. DC has a plethora, a whole range of organizations, nonprofit working on returning citizens. In fact, most churches have a prison ministry. In regards to your faith or denomination, most churches have a prison ministry that you can connect with all over the country. And you need to tie in and plug in, because criminal justice, as I said before, 7 out of every 10 black males have been arrested or have a criminal record or been involved in a criminal justice system. So 70% of our black males in America has been directly impacted or affected by the criminal justice system. So whatever we can do to keep this information going, we have to do this. Solitary confinement should be abolished, eliminated, and it's been proven that it caused torture. And why are we pushing it? We got 80,000 people plus in solitary locked in little rooms. You got men been in there for years and women been locked up for years. You even got kids locked up in solitary for weeks and months. Angola just made a move a couple of months ago in Louisiana to take juveniles and place them in Angola adult prison. They taking a part of death row, which has been closed, and they putting juveniles on death row and calling that administrative segregation. And these kids are isolated, and they can't go in the population with adults because they have the advantage taken of them. So they're using solitary for whatever reason they want to use it from. But the bottom line is, Very few people come out there the way they went in, man. I mean, I am lucky to come out and not have nothing. I got a few lasting issues, but we want to make sure that if you have somebody or know somebody inside of these institutions, please, please, as my man said, Brother Robinson said, write, call, go down to the city council. I would like to see people go in front of the D.C. jail and CTF and stay there outside of there all day long until they cut back or stop using solitary. You go to jail for punishment, not to go there to lose your mind. And once you lose your mind, nobody can help you get it back. If you don't get it back on your own, ain't no medicine, ain't no therapy, ain't no nothing that I know of, that I've been experienced with, that will help you get. I could be wrong, and I'll be wrong. I'll be wrong a lot of times, but give it to me. Please, we need to abolish, eliminate solitary confinement. Now, again, what can people do for this Erasure Act, this new act you call, that y'all are pushing from the D.C. Justice Lab called the Erase Act?
That's the Erase Act 2023. Like I say, again, we're asking for the push from the community. Let's get together. Let's rally. Let's let the community know what's going on. Like, I appreciate this opportunity to share with the community and let them know that it's torture. You know, for those that know it's torture, we ask you to share with the next person. Mm-hmm. We need many people to know and share this message. You know, let the council members know that this is what's going on. Like you say, if it's one that has connects with the mayor, why hasn't the mayor signed on board? Why hasn't the mayor shown us no attention? Why has the mayor spoke to us about this shit? Mm-hmm. This is what's going on in DC jail, which she has control over.
Go ahead.
So, you know, again, those that has any connections with the mayor, we ask you to help us connect with the mayor. Help us get to Brooke Pinto. Help us get this hearing going. You know, it's actually a national movement. Unlock the Box in the Solitary Confinement is a national movement. It's a national campaign as well. So we know in every state, in the federal system, like, we're trying to end solitary confinement. This is inhumane. Mm-hmm.
What is Unlock the Box? He just mentioned that. What is Unlock the Box?
Unlock the Box is the campaign to end solitary confinement. So it's Unlock the Box DC, where we focus on DC jail and DOC. And then it's the Unlock the Box national campaign that's state to state. And they're actually working to end solitary confinement in the federal facilities as well.
And what progress have y'all made? Or have you got any indication that you're making some progress in this, that you're trying to get them to stop you from solitary?
Okay, all right, go ahead. Which state can we get to that you know of that's doing this, that's saying that we're stopping solitary confinement? Are there any states that you know of besides, you mentioned Oregon twice?
Yes, New York State has done it. New York State has done it. Connecticut has done it. West Virginia has done it. There's multiple states that's putting this together. Washington State has done it. You know, D.C. for some reason hasn't. I don't understand that. D.C. still practice, still use it. They won't even give us the hearing on it. Connecticut has done it, and Brooke Pinto has a strong following. And like, her support comes from Connecticut. So I don't understand why, if your support is coming from Connecticut, and this is something Connecticut stand on and push through, why aren't you saying a big deal? Why aren't you at least giving us a hearing? Sit down and talk to us about this.
What can mothers do? What can mothers do who have got loved ones in the fucking connections of men and their own prisons? What can families do to help out with this?
What can families do to help this fight this this problem?
I would say continue to support your family member. You know, write letters, call, you know, accept the calls. You know, engage. If they have access to call links, use call links. If they have access to the new tablets, you know, communicate. Communication plays a big part.
What is call links? You said you can use call links. What is that?
Call links is the email system that the federal BOP use.
And explain how it works. How does it work?
The inmate can pay 5 cents a minute to send you a message and also read your messages.
For
5 cents a minute. The MA can pay 5 cents a minute and receive and send messages.
Wow. Okay. Well, our time is running out. We've been having some technical issues, but we're getting worked out.
I just miss my hamburger early in the morning, first thing to start my morning. If I don't start off with a hand smoke or hamburger, I'm not feeling up to par. So our guest this morning is Brother Herbert Robinson of Georgetown University Pivot Program, also the D.C. Justice Lab. And the brother is a returnee, and I'm impressed with him that he's been out less than 2 years, and he's jumped in the middle of this fight of making things better for us inside of the correctional system. This is what it takes, people. When you go through something and you are touched by it personally, it's hard not to come out and not to be involved in this particular field. And I know you left a lot of people inside, and we got a couple of minutes. In closing, what would you say to our listening audience about this solitary confinement and the Erasure Act and what they need to do or can do to help out?
I like to tell the audience, you know, solitary confinement is torture. And again, please rally the community, go around and speak and share this message. Let's get in here and see where we can go from there. I would also like to let the community, or those that's returning citizens, D.C. Justice Lab offers a policy training course. The academy is yearly. Check into it. Look forward. Georgetown Pivot Program yesterday started their enrollment application time. So if you're interested in joining the Pivot Program, like, they're open and enrollment is going on right now. Like, these are both opportunities I took to get to where I'm at. And I appreciate both programs.
Yeah, what is the Pivot Program?
Again, it's an entrepreneur space for returning citizens. They actually give you the workforce environment. Yeah, you give you the skill set for the workforce environment, but also if you have aspirations to be an entrepreneur, they help you in that field and help you with the social capital and the funding. They actually taught me how to present myself, do the presentations and things like that, so I can go seek funding to help build out my business.
Have you been able to seek any funding?
So I haven't used it for the business yet, but in the advocacy space, I have been able to seek funding. So that's been working out. So I've learned that skill set, and I'm able to use it on both fields.
I guess it's been Mr. Herbert Robinson, Georgetown University Pivot Program in the D.C. Justice Lab, the returnee. And I want to make sure that folks realize that we have people coming on who have from all walks of life. We just had a doctor here a few minutes ago, Dr. Reed Tuxton. So you can turn on Crossroads and be educated, informed, and motivated about issues that pertain to your life and your loved ones' lives. I want to thank you, Herb, for coming in. We'll have you back. We'll have this issue worked out the next time you come back.
All right.
And I want to say thank you. Thank you to everybody that's been tuning into our show. This has been Crossroads. This has been Crossroads. We still got a couple more minutes. I'm a little early. I mean, I want to get out of here because I want to have my hamburger. This is 11:43. So our phones are not working this morning, and we wanted to make sure that you people can call in to ask Herb some questions, because I know a lot of times folks call in with stuff, information that we can't even come up with. But we need your support to make sure we get this information out. In closing, I want to say our guest, our co-host, Nikichi, wasn't able to join us this second half. But for next month, the first Tuesday of each month, we come to you live from Ben's Chili Bowl on U Street. And we're hopefully in the immediate future, we were starting back our program of having breakfast while we're doing the show. So you can sit in the audience, listen, participate in the discussions, and ask questions. That'll be in the very immediate future. We'll let you know when you can come by the Chili Bowl on the first Tuesday of the month and sit in the audience and be a part of our listening audience. Also, we want to say thanks to all them people who donated to us in the last fund drive, and to my friend, Mr. Kim. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Folks, we cannot bring you Crossroads without your support or the community support. Also, if you want to visit our website, it's called Visit Your New Beginnings, D.C. Visit Your New Beginnings, yournewbeginningsdc.org. And that'll give you all the background of what we're doing. Secondly, the grapevine that we do in the mornings, you can go to our website and access the stories that we recite on grapevine for the full background and detail on them stories. Because we pull these stories from the Marshall Project,
the Washington Post, and different sources to keep us abreast of what's going on in the criminal justice field locally, nationally, and internationally. So go to Your New Beginnings DC, yournewbeginningsdc.org, and you can find all the information you want to find out about Martine Roach and what we're doing here on Crossroads. I want to say thank you. Our time is up. Our time is up. We're going to get out of here. Our time is up. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crossroads and listening to Martine. To our guest this morning, our first guest was Dr. Reed Tuxton, the D.C., former D.C. Health Commissioner. He's talking about COVID-19 is on the rise, and we're concerned about what the impact it's going to have on those men and women and youth who are in detention facilities across the country. So I guess that's it. We got to get out of here. And thank you for tuning in to our show. This has been Roach Brown on Crossroads. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Another day has come and gone in a world where I don't belong. Another week has passed me by. It's not because I didn't try. Nobody saw me walking. Before they notice me, another job that I just can't get, a nice apartment the landlord just won't rent. I go to bed, but my sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong before they notice me. Seems like I got to do wrong before they notice me. My sleep just won't come. My belly's empty and my brain is numb. Nobody saw me walking, and nobody heard me talking. Seems like I gotta do wrong before they notice me. Yes, I do. Before they notice me.
Hi, this is Miyuki. On Sunday, July 7th, 4 to 8 p.m., WPFW is presenting a fundraising evening of roots, rock, reggae at Mango Cafe, 4719 Annapolis Road, Bladensburg, Maryland, featuring Proverbs reggae band with Z Lion and special guest Freedom Nsoroma Lee L. Proceeds to benefit WPFW.
Details at Eventbrite. WPFW Reggae Concert, eventbrite.com.
The Pacifica National Board and the WPFW Local Station Board will be voting on a proposed Pacifica Bylaws Amendment between July 10th and August 24th of 2024. Information on the amendment, about how vacancies are filled on local station boards, and about the process will be posted on the Pacifica.org website.
Born in 1899, Edward Kennedy Ellington ranks as the greatest all-around figure, composer, arranger orchestrator, band leader conductor, piano accompanist, soloist, and musical thinker. On Thursday, July 11th, from 5 a.m. until midnight, WPFW honors Ellington on the occasion of his 125th birth year with Ellington 125, a celebration beyond category. We will tickle the sonic keys with all things Ellington, from his three-minute instrumentals to his theatrical scores and sacred concerts, all in support of building our relocation fund. That's Ellington 125, a celebration beyond category. Thursday, July 11th, from 5 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Christina Onnested. Legal experts say the Supreme Court's ruling granting presidents broad immunity from criminal prosecution for official acts Monday will likely derail the federal prosecution of Donald Trump for his efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss. The high court also ruled presidents could be prosecuted for unofficial acts, but imposed a high bar for that prosecution, as Scott Baba reports.
Tom Wolf is the director of Democracy Initiatives at the Brennan Center for Justice in New York, a progressive nonprofit law and public policy institute.
This new ruling from the court pulls a new constitutional rule from thin air. Trump is now positioned to renew his push to dismiss the charges against him and evade accountability for his crimes against our democracy. And as a result, the rule of law in America is in tatters today.
Wolf said that while the court ruled presidents don't have immunity for unofficial acts, official acts could not form the basis for prosecution. The court also ruled that prosecutors are not allowed to look at a president's motives for official acts, no matter how corrupt. Wolf said that the ruling would likely derail special counsel Jack Smith's prosecution of former President Donald Trump.
They've also said that the special prosecutor can't rely on the testimony of the president or any of his aides associated with official acts.
Trump posted in all capital letters on his social media network saying, quote, "Big win for our Constitution and democracy. Proud to be an American." President Joe Biden addressed the nation in response to the ruling.
Today's decision almost certainly means that there are virtually no limits on what a president can do. This is a fundamentally new principle. And it's a dangerous precedent.
I'm Scott Baba, Pacifica Radio.
Donald Trump's lawyer sent a letter to Manhattan judge in his election interference hush money criminal case Monday night, seeking to file a motion to set aside his guilty verdict. The letter to Judge Juan Mercon cited the Supreme Court's ruling earlier in the day and asked the judge to delay Trump's sentencing while he weighs the high court's decision and how it could influence the New York case. New York progressive Democrat Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said on social media she'll file articles of impeachment in the House against the Supreme Court's conservative justices. She said, quote, "The Supreme Court has become consumed by a corruption crisis beyond its control. Today's ruling represents an assault on American democracy. It is up to Congress to defend our nation from this authoritarian capture," unquote. It's likely to go nowhere in the Republican-controlled chamber. Independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders said the Supreme Court is out of control. If these conservative, right-wing, corporate-sponsored justices want to make public policy, they should simply quit the Supreme Court and run for political office, he said. A federal appeals court has restored a more than $2 million fine against two dozen white nationalists and organizations for their role in the deadly 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, North Carolina, where civil rights protesters clashed with far-right and Nazi extremists, culminating in a man plowing his vehicle into a crowd, killing one woman. A jury had awarded more than $26 million in damages to people who had suffered physical or emotional injuries during the event. A judge later slashed that amount. A federal appeals court Monday increased it to $350,000 each person. Israeli strikes overnight killed at least 9 people in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis, shortly after Israel ordered Palestinians to evacuate parts of the city ahead of a likely ground operation. The strike hit a home near the European Hospital. The United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees says some 250,000 people are in the evacuation zone, many who already fled earlier fighting. Meanwhile, reporting from Al Jazeera shows video of Israel's military using Palestinian detainees as what